the more you write in real estate, the more successful you are. But what's the success? How do you define it? It's different for every individual. And I think for me, it's a holistic. How healthy are you? How's your relationships? How's your family? How's your parenting? Tick those boxes. That's what success is in a broader sense.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Today, my guest is someone we all know very well and one of the most recognized performance, sales, and mindset coaches in the industry. He's been a regular in Elite Agent since the very beginning. He doesn't have hair as good as Claudio Encina, but he makes up for that in so many other ways. Welcome to the show, Jed Xavier.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Are you still talking to me after that intro?
I'm still, that's a great intro. It's one of the best I've had, I think. I like it. I'll use that. We're recording it, so I'll just play that before I come on. Whenever I speak.
On stage next time.
Actually, I'll play it for every time I coach somebody. I'll just say, just hang on a second, I'm just going to play this intro. I like it.
I did say one of the best minds in real estate. There you go.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And it's been a good association with you guys for a long time. I'm very proud of it.
Like, I know that most people in the industry do know you, but for the one or two people in the whole of the real estate industry in Australia that don't know you, do you mind giving us a little bit of a background?
So basically, been in the industry for about 8 or 9 years doing mindset performance coaching, really focusing on how the mind works in relation to behaviors that are stopping people being their best and working on getting rid of those behaviors via fixing the mindset. That's it in a nutshell, really. So more around the cognitive changes that people need to make so that they can make the behavioral changes so they can perform at better levels. So spending most of my time doing that coaching one-on-one, keynotes and training to one to many. So it's been a great ride. It's been the best year I had last year, and this year started off a cracker. So I can't wait.
I mean, for you particularly, it must have been an interesting sort of period of time, like last year with the year of two halves. So yes. In the beginning, it was all a bit shit, if I can say that. And then towards the end of the year, things picked up. So what sort of things were you trying to coach your clients through while things were a bit rough out there?
Well, it's funny now we have a buoyant market. You know, things have changed and, you know, people are a bit more positive about, especially the agents. So, you know, last year when everyone was sort of running and screaming and, the sky is falling type of thing, I was just coaching around, just playing the long game and focusing on where they're trying to get to. Because, you know, we get setbacks, we get challenges, we get obstacles. It's always going to happen. And whether it's a flat market, a hard vendor, doesn't matter what the external force is, there's always going to be something. So I was coaching, where are we going to? Where did we start? What did we plan? What was our strategy? Let's just stick to it, play the game through the storm. It's like a ship going through a storm, exactly the same principle. And so I taught all the people I was coaching, particularly one-on-one, just stay firm. You'll get through the storm. It'll change. It always does. History shows us that. Don't focus on now and what's happening and what's not happening. Focus on what you're trying to write, who you're trying to become, where you're trying to get to, why you're trying to do it, and put your energy in the future rather than in the present moment, which most people were doing because they were focusing on the wrong things. So playing the game forward was my main message towards the end of last year. And this year, things have sort of corrected and there's a bit of, spring in people's step now and a bit of confidence. It's about how do we get efficient, effective and sustainable now? So, okay, we're on the hop, let's go. But what's your efficiency like? What's your effectiveness like? And what is your sustainability like for 2020?
Because you've got to maintain that, right? When you start sort of feeling like, you know, these dips and sort of peaks in energy, they're actually not that good for you. You've got to kind of work out how you can flatten that out over a period of time.
Most agents don't think like that either because their performance model is train, play, recover. And that's based on a sports model. And most agents train and play, but most of them play and they don't recover or train. And so what I try to do, which is getting back to what I just said, is look, how can we make you more efficient? How can we have less wastage less time on the tools? How can we do things better? And then how can we be more effective? So the end result, how can we make that better? What does that look like? And then the sustainability comes in as the base. So how do we sustain that efficiency and effectiveness at whatever the level is for the agent or the principal? How do we sustain that through motivation, through health, through focus, through skilling up, through management, through leadership? So all of those factors need to be at a sustainable level. Otherwise, you do get those ups and downs and you get on the roller coaster, which probably 80% of agents are on that roller coaster. And that's what connects to their motivation and their self-worth and their doubt. And that's what puts them in the spiral and in the hole.
Yeah, interesting. So for the last couple of years, you've actually been helping agents get through some of these tough times and make their careers more sustainable through the Revive Project. And there's a new report out. So you had one report in 2016-17, which had some not very flattering statistics in it about how happy people were in their jobs in the real estate industry. And now you've revisited that. So can you tell us, have things improved?
Basically, I was getting a lot of people that were, you know, in the sad, they were suicidal or they were just really, really down and not functioning and on purpose. And I thought, well, what's going on about this? So I started to look into it, and that's how the Revive thing really started, because there was nothing in the industry about that. So we did the research and we've just brought out the new research. I mean, if we look at the major takeaways, which I've got here, and we compare them to 2017, around physical symptoms of anxiety, 46% of the industry was suffering from physical symptoms of anxiety in 2018-19 compared to 47% in 2017. So there's been an increase in that area. Yeah, the same with stress. You know, stress has dropped a little bit, but it was 56% in this report. In 2017, it was 65%. So there's a little bit of change, but not a lot. People seeking medical advice one time or more for work-related stress was the same. So people, which was 35%. So a third of our industry is seeking help for stress that's work-related, which is, it's above the benchmark for other industries as well, which we should recognise.
Why do you think the real estate industry has figures so far above other industries?
It's a great question. This is my take on it after 8 years in the industry and working with people that are this stressed. What happens is, Sam, is people go, I want to become a real estate agent. I love houses. I'm good with people, you know, and it's uncapped income, all the dreams and the promises, yep. And then they get thrown into a cauldron, a context that requires them to be emotionally resilient. It requires them to be mentally strong. It requires them to be motivated consistently. And what happens is they're not equipped for that. So they get taken from the world that they live in where they're able to cope to a certain extent. They have a dream. The promise is there, which is true. It's a great industry. But then they get dropped in with no training, no onboarding, no support to an extent, no idea about what to do. Because this survey is about PM as well. They get dropped into that as well, and they're supposed to swim. It's like, you know, taking someone that can't swim out to the middle of the ocean, dropping them overboard and saying, okay, swim back to shore now. It's just not going to happen. The ones that really get themselves into gear can survive. So I think this is why we've got an issue in the industry, and this is what's come out of the both research, is that these people are not equipped enough before they get into the industry or as they get into the industry to withstand the rigors and the challenges and the obstacles and all of that stuff that impacts the inner game, which is their mindset, what they believe about themselves, their debt, their emotional intelligence, motivation, all of that type of stuff. So I think that's the main reason. And the ones that do make it are the ones that do. You look at all the agents that are doing well, and not just $1 million writers, the ones that are writing 250, 300 that are doing okay. They've got good emotional intelligence. They can withstand a couple of knocks. They do have a bit of self-belief. You know, they don't spiral as quickly. They still suffer from impacts of it to an extent, but they're a bit more durable, I guess, is the word. That's my observation of that.
I feel like you're describing a battle scene from Braveheart or something like that, where, you know, like everyone's going into battle and only the strongest are ever going to survive.
I think it's like that. And you know what? A lot of the statistics, particularly around stigma and leaders stepping up and, you know, supporting mental health in the workplace, I think that old school is still there. It's like this is a a battle, on we go, and you know, only the strong survive. The problem is when it comes to recruitment and retention, things fall apart because you haven't got a lineup of Braveheart soldiers at the door every day wanting to be in real estate. You've got normal people thinking it's a great idea at the time, but when they get in there, they find out, hang on a second, I'm putting myself on the line every day, exposed, vulnerable, open to criticism, rejection, judgment, and we're not built for that. Humans are just not built for that. And so, you know, people crumble. So onwards they go.
So what sort of a conversation do we need to be having with leaders in this industry to better support the people?
I think it starts with the stigmas. I mean, we can look at the broader industries around the world, and we can look at even sports and very successful celebrities, and we can go, okay, they're starting to come out now and say, hang on a second, I've got a problem. I've got mental health. James Packer said it in his book. You know, Greg Inglis, South Sydney captain, came out in 2017. Buddy Franklin. There's been a whole lot of people that are starting to come out and say, hey, look, I've got some problems. I've got depression, whatever it might be. So they're breaking the stigmas. They're talking. In our industry, it's still sort of taboo. It's almost forbidden. It's almost a sign of weakness if you speak up and you say, look, I'm having a tough day. I'm finding it a bit hard. Relationships are struggling, whatever. So I think leaders need to be able to stand up and go, hey, it ain't weak to speak, as they say. Here's a process that we have in our organization that allows you to seek help and support. And I'm talking about the whole continuum. You kicked your cat, you had an argument, you come into work feeling like crap, to, you know, you want to give it all up and kill yourself. Everything in between, there needs to be some sort of support, and leaders need to be breaking the stigmas in real estate, and not enough are. And I think that's one of the biggest issues facing this industry, because it's still got that old school mentality. Here's your phone, here's your desk, get out there in the Braveheart scene and do your best. In saying that, you know, I know a small percentage of great operators around Australia are, you know, implementing mental health policies and processes, and they are trying to do different stuff around the workplace and onboarding and stuff like that. But if we can start talking, we can start the conversation, if we can start saying, hey, it's okay, I think we're a step closer to, you know, bringing these statistics down in particular.
That would be really good. So what's the next step for the Revive project as you see it at the moment?
We ran it for a couple of years, and we were looking at, okay, do we do another event? Because we did an event with stress experts and neuroscientists, and that was fantastic. We did that a couple of years in a row. We had roundtables, and we got themes and different recommendations and stuff. And, you know, we thought, where do we go next? And so I sat on it for a while. And fortunately, the RISE conference has come up, and that's about a mental health app for the industry. So for me, you know, it's almost go, take the ball and run, because that's a bigger platform now. It's going to have much more exposure. The profile of mental health is going to go through the roof now that we've got this event plus an app that's going to be just for our industry. So for me at this point in time, it's just sort of almost handing the baton and saying, guys, well done, awesome job. Great to see this initiative, and you know, I'm going to support it 150% and be involved in that as much as I can. So I guess Revive has sort of done its job, and I'm going to try and support this initiative because it's on a massive platform, and I think it's going to bring about a whole lot of other initiatives for mental health, and potentially breaking stigmas is one, you know, access and support is another, helping people get the right onboarding, which is another issue as well. So that's where my money's going, that's what I'm backing, and that's what I'm going to get involved in.
Nice work, Jet. That's a really great initiative. If there were any resources or books or anything like that that you'd recommend that we can throw in the show notes for people to have a look at who might be listening to this now and having a bit of a rough trot, can you recommend something?
Wow, that's really hard to an extent because the individual is so different and what they're going through is so different. I mean, Adriana Huffington, you know, Thrive is a great book. That's, you know, the Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle is a great book. There's a spiritual context. So Thrive is a work context. Eckhart Tolle is a spiritual context. And Carol Dweck's Mindset is a, you know, a cognitive mental context. So I think those three books are, you know, sort of great in sort of getting the message around you know, stopping this hustle and grind mentality and looking at flourishing and thriving from a work context, from a spiritual context, and from a mindset context. So they're certainly three books that you can start with for sure.
Yeah, so you'd recommend getting into those and just, you know, a bit of quiet time on your own rather than, I think the other problem is like social media is our great friend in real estate and also a big enemy for us in some ways, in that you play the comparison game all the time. Like this person's doing that and that person's doing that and, oh my God, what am I doing? How would you recommend just bringing that to a natural head?
Yeah. What's interesting is there's, you know, there's two themes that came out of our roundtables with a couple of hundred people over the couple of years. One was taking performance and making it about potential, not performance.
Yeah.
And the other one was looking at comparison as a measure of success. So if we change those conversations and, you know, comparison isn't the measure of success, but what you do as a human, how you contribute to your organization, what you do in the broader sense. And then if we look at people just being potentialized rather than just perform, I think we're further down the track. And again, you know, I've got a book coming out called Champions Cry 2, and that's a whole lot of people in the industry that are very successful that have had just the worst times in their life and have come through and applied wellness and wellbeing principles and talk about how they did that. And those types of people need to be profiled more on social media around the messaging, around the stigma, around, look, just because you're a $2 million agent doesn't make you any better than a $250,000 agent. It does in a numerical sense, but it doesn't in a human sense. And I think that's a clear message that we need to get across. And, you know, the REIs need to get involved at this level as well. They need to start marketing and campaigning and creating initiatives to get a message through all their members around these types of themes. And I think the more people at those types of levels, and this is the struggle that I have with Revive, one bloke having a crack, getting a few people together, trying to change the world. And now you've got some of the best in the industry that have taken on their own initiatives and they're just doing such an awesome job. And we need more of that. So that's what I think we do with the social media. But there's always going to be comparison. People are always going to look at their neighbours and say, you know, they've got more than me. It's part of human nature, but it doesn't have to be part of our vocabulary in this industry. We can certainly change it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's probably a bit of a call to action for the people that think they've got to be completely perfect on social media to be a bit more authentic, like, because it may just send someone the complete wrong message.
Yeah, there is a message that the more you write in real estate, the more successful you are. But what's the success? How do you define it? It's different for every individual. And I think for me, it's a holistic. How healthy are you? How's your relationships? How's your family? How's your parenting? Tick those boxes. That's what success is in a broader sense, and not just how much. I mean, how much you write is a level of success. Of course it is, but it's not the only level of success. There are many others. And I certainly coach that with my clients to understand that you align all of these energies, then you'll perform in life better, not just in real estate.
Yeah, makes sense, because you're a happier human being overall.
Correct.
And that's what we want, is we want happier human beings.
We want happier chappies. That's exactly right.
Now, speaking of happier human beings, as I mentioned in the opening to this show, you've been a regular in Elite Agent for a long time now.
It has been a long time. I think I started another version of the same magazine, to be honest.
Not my magazine, though.
I get that.
I'll tell everyone that. But, yeah, so you've been a regular for some time, and some of your articles appear in our greatest hits lists all the time.
Yep.
Because they're to do with just everyday mindset struggles that people are having. So I thought we might spend the rest of our time together talking about some of your articles and some of the big takeaways that you've given us over the last couple of years, because I think they're like evergreen tips that everyone can get a lot out of. Before we launch into that, I just want everyone to know, if they didn't know, that you gave yourself a couple of mindset challenges yourself in the last couple of years.
Yep.
One was doing the base camp trek.
Yes.
With a bunch of agents, and the other one was remaining silent.
bigger.
In a meditation. I don't know how you did that. I don't even know if I could. But tell me about both of those experiences and why you went into those and what you got out of them.
Yeah, so the base camp was about being on purpose. I come to a point in my life where it was like I just wasn't living the life that I wanted. It wasn't where it was going, where it should have been going. And I thought, oh, I want to do something that helps people change their lives as well as a great experience for me. So I thought, you know, what could I do that's big, gutsy and ballsy.
To go climb a mountain.
And can get agents and principals to be involved in it. And I thought, well, let's trek to base camp, you know. Everest is another whole deal, but base camp is a good thing to start with. So I developed a personal development program for the agents that we did every day. And that was about looking at yourself and gratefulness and optimism and purpose and passion and all those things that I think are intrinsically what drive us. And how do we create more of those things? So we can not only be happier human beings, but we can be more purposeful human beings. Because I think when we're on purpose, we are exhibiting our passion and then we're realizing our potential. And so that's where base camp come from. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever done. I don't know if I'd lock myself 24 hours a day with 12 real estate agents again. that's another question. But I've seen lives transform, and it was an amazing experience to watch people go into this incredible, undescribable in many ways place and face themselves and, you know, come out of it different people. So, that challenge came out of me going from a compromised sort of life to going, no, that's it. Draw a line in the sand. I'm not going to compromise anymore. Let's go big. Let's do some stuff. And this was after I'd sold everything that I'd had, you know, in Sydney, left Sydney, sold my Harley, sold my car, went minimalist, got out of relationships, lost 17 kilos, did a whole lot of crazy stuff because I was compromising in a lot of ways. I thought, no, that's it. I got to get myself back to my best version. And Basecamp was the challenge to sort of do that.
So you just mentioned that the agents that went with you came out changed. In what way? Was it something like that they never thought that they could achieve that much? Because as humans, you know, like we doubt what we can achieve, but, you know, we're actually all a whole lot stronger than we think. So what did it specifically teach them?
Yeah, definitely. You can die going to base camp. People think it's a walk, you know, it's a full-on trek, and people actually die from altitude sickness and a whole lot of other complications. We had one lady who had to get helicoptered out the day before we got to base camp. We had another lady that had to go back as well. We had three people that were unable to walk back. So it is a pretty challenging thing. But I think the biggest thing was purpose. One, yeah, people went over and above what they thought they could do. That was constantly in the conversation. Wow, look what I just did. Look how far I've come. Look what we're able to do. Because sometimes you're trekking for 8 hours, then you get up the next day, you climb up a mountain and back down, and then you go keep going trekking to acclimatize, and that nearly kills you. So, yes, they were overcoming their own mindsets about what they're capable of, but I think living a bigger life, living a life with more purpose, living more on point, not wasting the day, as we do, we drift, we coast, we get into this comfort mode, and we just next minute, like it's nearly over
yeah.
Already, just going like that. So I think they came out of there with more of a sense of purpose and a more of an understanding that anything is possible if they obviously put their mind to it. So it was quite incredible watching the transition and the transformation and sort of getting caught up in that.
Yeah, it's interesting because as humans, we start negotiating with ourselves when things get tough. And I think, you know, like breaking through, you know, that mental negotiation, I mean, you know, like I've done it 1,000 times, you know, in my sneakers on the road in the last year, start negotiating with myself thinking I'll walk the last kilometre. But, you know, like even just as simple as that, you know, you can do it and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, and a lot of people did it to break that comfort. So a lot of people, their lives are at a point where they're going, no, I want to be a better version of myself. I want to do something big. I want to have the best life. I want to be challenged. And a lot of people came from that space and they thought, well, what can be a big challenge for me? What scares me? What's going to be an obstacle? And they chose base camp. So they started from that point and then they ended up being feeling unstoppable and unbeatable. Because when you get to base camp, there's 300 other people there, half of which are going to risk their lives climbing a mountain that you can see in the distance. It's quite an amazing experience and transformation that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go to the other type of transformation, which is staying quiet for what, 5 days?
Yes. It was 10, but
10, oh my God, that's doubly as bad.
Yeah, it was meditating up to 10 hours a day and staying quiet for 10 days. So
did you get snacks?
Yeah. 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 But it was weird sitting across from someone and like this and eating and not looking at them for 10 days or 3 meals a day for 10 days. And then sitting in a room of 60 people, you know, and not hearing anything. It was quite incredible. But that was part of, I guess, my journey to calm, quieten, control and be still the mind, because it was busy, it was too noisy, it was there was too much going on and I wanted a process or some sort of thing to go bang. Because I'm a big believer that if you're going to change something, you need to hit it hard and take as much action as you can. And I thought this is the best way to do it. And so for me, it was a personal journey back to the center of myself, back to that part of me that I'd sort of pushed down and forgotten about because I got caught up in all this stuff. And this stuff's okay. We're here, do what we do. But, you know, sometimes we lose ourselves in this, and I felt lost. I felt like I didn't have direction and I wasn't on purpose. And I thought I need to go somewhere that's just going to clear everything, strip me back down to bare naked spiritually and mentally and sort of rebuild from there. And so that was the premise behind going to something like that. And look, it was an amazing and an incredible experience. And if people get to that point in their lives, I really encourage them to do that.
So if someone's got a lot of chaos in their head or, you know, not feeling like or just feeling like there's a lot going on that you need to kind of get rid of or deal with,
yeah,
and you don't have the 10 days to go meditate, what's the next best thing?
So I think this is where gratefulness comes in as the new wonder drug, and you can incorporate gratefulness into meditation. So there are two quick types of meditation that people can do. And what meditation does is it takes you away from that part of your brain where you are thinking about the future all the time and you're thinking about the past, which they call the default mode network. So in the default mode network, you're ruminating all the time. And half of our day pretty much is spent ruminating. When we ruminate, we're in the future going, whatever, or we're in the past and we're negative, or in the present and we're negative. We're in that daydream state. So what meditation does is it takes us out of that. And a simple meditation, which is the Vipassana that I did, was just breathing through the nose and out through the nose and just concentrating on the breath. 5 to 10 minutes of that a day will help you calm your mind. The other meditation which I like, which is connected to gratefulness, is loving kindness meditation, where you just sit and you send love to people, to the world, to somebody. And you just sit, you can do that for 5 to 10 minutes. And that is practicing gratefulness. Gratefulness changes your nervous system. It changes your immune system. It changes how you think. Why? Because it stops all the things that are not important and it focuses you back on what's important. And what's important lives in here. Yep. Mm. It lives right in your center of your humanness. And so that type of meditation is really practical, easy to do. You can sit in your car, close your eyes, and just send love to people.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to do that for you at the end of this podcast.
Thank you.
I'm going to send you some love. All right. So let's wrap it up with some quick tips and advice. So what I did before we got on this call is I looked at a lot of your previous articles and I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that you've written about in the last year, which I think are pretty evergreen topics. And so we're just going to do a bit of a rapid fire thing of how to overcome them. Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Best tip for balancing family with a career in real estate.
Make it a priority.
Make family a priority.
Yep. Put it first. Marcus Ciminello, he put yourself first, then your family, then your business. When yourself's first, you're going to look after your family, then you're going to take care of business.
Yeah. Put your family in the calendar.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. Okay, tip for eliminating distractions.
Eliminating distractions.
Yeah.
Create awareness around what the distraction is really crucial. Yeah. And then ask yourself how important is what you're actually doing in regards to the distraction. So if you're making calls and you get distracted, what's more important, the distraction or the calls? Which one are you going to focus on? So awareness about what the distraction is. Because if you don't understand what your enemy is, you're not going to defeat it. That's the first tip.
I did this course last year, actually, which taught me that if I start procrastinating or start just getting distracted or doing something else, it is an indicator that what I'm being distracted from is really important.
Yeah.
So now I sort of go, oh, this is important. I better stop looking at.
Yeah. Well, it's a habit loop, isn't it? There's a cue, there's a behavior, there's a reward.
Yeah.
And so when you start to change the behavior and you create awareness, well, why do I behave like this when the phone's cue this behavior because I get that reward. That awareness shifts gear in your brain to go, well, hang on a second, let's explore how we're going to move out of this.
Yeah, and go back.
Just making another list and saying get back on the phone doesn't help.
Yeah, that's my next one actually. Tips for picking up the phone when you don't want to.
It's all, you know, I hate this word, but it's what's your why? What's your purpose? Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, I had a conversation with a client the other day. He was dragging his backside around, not motivated. And I said, well, why are you turning up? Why are you doing this? And when you understand what your passion and your purpose and your potential is, and you get those three things aligned with what you're doing, that drives you. You'll have your flat days and your unmotivated times, but you've got to be connected to something bigger than what you're doing, and it's got to be purposeful, it's got to be related to your passion, and it's got to be part of you potentializing yourself.
What about overcoming overwhelm?
Breathe. Yeah, because what your body's just gone into fight flight, and so what we do when it goes into fight flight, we keep fighting and flying. We just keep it going until something happens, and then we forget about it, and now we're happy again. But when it comes on, we need to breathe and give our body a chance and the chemicals, the cortisol, to dissipate so we can bring in the happy chemicals and shift our state. So breathing is a big, big part of doing that.
Yeah. So stop running from the bear.
Stop running from the bear and just breathe. You know, the studies have shown there's fight, flight, and then there's caution in the middle, or there's freeze. And so that space there just goes, hang on a second, it gives you a bit of time to, you know, get yourself together. I had a friend, a Green Beret in the army. He got dropped out of a helicopter in Afghanistan. It's supposed to be with five or six other guys. The dust settles, he turns around and they're not there. I said, oh my God, you would have been so freaking out, stressed, overwhelmed, crap in your pants. He goes, nah, they trained us to deal with this situation. We just calm ourselves, get into that moment in the middle, no fight, no flight, and we just make a decision from there. Breathing helps that.
Breathe. Okay, so you look incredible at the moment, and you mentioned that you've lost 17 kilos or something like that. You're looking fitter than I've ever seen you look.
Thank you.
If someone told you that you needed to lose 10 kilos right now, what would you do?
I'd keep eating right. I just had a green juice that I was going to show you, but I just got knocked it out. So here's a tip for the folks at home. Kale, spinach, cucumber, garlic, ginger. Get that mixed up and into you, and it's going to create a lot of energy. So you got to eat right. That's the main thing, because that energizes your body, and then you got to exercise because that produces endorphins, which makes you feel good. So it's not rocket science. It's eat right, exercise, repeat. There's no secret.
There's no secret.
No, there's no secret. And again, it gets back to, why do you want to do that? You know, what's the purpose behind your exercise and you wanting to get fit? That's important as well. Everything drives us, Sam. There's, you know, we got behaviors that don't work, and underneath that we've got drivers, and we've got to work out what's driving me to do this behavior that's not serving me, and what's driving me to do the behavior that does serve me. When we start to understand that, we can shift our state, and we can change a lot of things. I believe change is easy if you know how.
All right. What about overcoming a career slump? Like, let's say you're in a hole. You're not sure if you want a real estate anymore. You've had enough of the 5 a.m. club.
Yep.
What would you say?
So this is a good question, because I deal with a lot of principals in particular, or a lot of people that have been in the industry for a long time that go, man, I'm just not motivated anymore. I'm in a slump. I'm not functioning. I'm not doing the – 5 years ago I was writing this and now I'm not. They've got to look at what contribute to that. And when you start to talk about them, it's, well, I've been divorced. I'm not healthy. I've been in the industry for 15 years, so I'm a little bit jaded and cynical. So all of those things require energy. And so the reason they're in a slump is because they've been de-energized, yeah? Because all their focus has been on these things, or these things have happened to them and the residue is still around. So it's about breaking those down and giving them new meaning. And when you give the new meaning, you start to change your state physiologically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and you align those things up. When they've got the old meaning, they just keep coming up. And you just keep stressing about them, you worry about them, you're waking up at 2 a.m. in the morning, you're not functioning, you're not exercising, and you're just in this circle, this loop that keeps happening. But when you start to go, hang on a second, it's not a bad thing I'm in a slump right now, but this is what's contributed to it. A little bit burnout, I haven't been exercising, went through a relationship thing, kids not talking to me, whatever it is, put those into perspective, give them different meaning, forward thinking, and you start to bring yourself out of the slump. I have a lot of that in my one-to-one coaching, especially with people who have been in the industry for a while. There's always something that contributes to how we're feeling. If I'm feeling a certain way right now, it's because I've had my green shake. I'm just about to go to Mackay with my partner and run a session. I've just been to the dentist. I'm really happy about my teeth. I'm excited about talking to you. So all these energy zones are releasing dopamine. They're releasing serotonin. And I know that, so I feed into that. Prior, a couple of years ago, when I was in a slump, wasn't talking to my kids, I was in debt, business was coasting along, I was in a relationship, I wasn't turning up, blah, 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 blah. Where do you think my energy was? Well, it was just,
yeah.
I just wasn't turning up. And shift those things, new energy system, new energy, plug that in, turn it on, off we go.
Yeah. And I think, remember, you know, like if nothing changes, nothing changes. So
correct.
If you're feeling like that, something, even if it's just a small thing.
The thing with change, and I'm doing a lot of research on change at the moment, is that people think it's hard for three reasons. They think they can't, they think it's too hard, and they don't have a clear plan on how to. And they think that change like that. But sometimes it's gradual. I lost 17 kilos over 2 years. So it was a gradual. I didn't put pressure on myself. I just knew I'd just keep chipping away. I'd eat pizza sometimes. I'd had a drink then. I didn't do that. But I knew just keep going. So the change happened gradually over time. So people have got to understand that the decision to change is the crucial catalyst of the moment that they need to commit to, and then the rest sort of pulls you along.
Mm. And then it is commitment, because if you say changes, you're ready for change, and then don't commit, because it's really easy to fall back.
It's a good point. I had a guy, a real estate agent, who was a smoker, and he said, "Mate, I've tried before and I keep going back." I said, "Look, just do this. Keep trying, and every time you fail, don't worry about it. Just keep trying, right? Because you're going to keep trying and fail potentially, and then try and fail and try and fail. But if you have that mindset that one day, because of the change in your brain structure, because of your conditioning, you're going to stop." And he did. So he smoked, and then he forked the wagon. He didn't feel bad about it. He goes, "Okay, that happened. I'm going to try again." And that over time made him stop. So people need to realize that you mightn't get the result that you want straight away, but you just got to keep getting up, keep going towards it, because that's better conditioning than staying the way you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jett, as always, I have very much enjoyed this conversation with you. My energy's high as well. If there was one thing that you would like everyone to remember as a result of listening to this chat, because we have covered so much today, what would it be?
Be true to yourself. Follow your path, follow your truth. Follow your what you think is your purpose. Don't compromise. You get one shot at this baby, and you know you want to make it the best shot that you can. So I think that's the most important thing. And then your life reflects that, and everything becomes better, I think.
Well, I've got one thing to say to that. Boom.
You're going to put the link to the reports in the notes, I assume?
Absolutely. We're going to put the links to the reports and all the other things that you've mentioned, and the guys can go to eliteagentelevate.com to download the full action guide and the full notes from this podcast.
Action guide. That
action guide.
Good.
That's
like
it. Jett Xavier, thank you so much.
I'm off to battle. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.